Rowdy Alternative, and today we're joined by drummer out of Texas, Dusty Saxton. How you doing, man?
Good, man. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. So you've been keeping busy grinding out there?
Man, I really have. It's been a little weird. You know, I was with Granger Smith for 11 years, and he retired, which is a weird thing. You know, to just kind of, I mean, you know, not many artists retire. So that's, I didn't think I would ever be with someone long enough for them to retire, which is just a weird concept. So, you know, I took some time off, like around last Christmas. Of course, the whole music business kind of takes off over Christmas anyway. So, but yeah, I started with Austin Mead, around, in December. Those were my first shows with him. And then, I'm about probably like 15 shows in with him now.
Hell yeah, man. Yeah. Cause with Granger, I know he's been through a lot the past couple of years, but, and also with, it is kind of strange because he is relatively a younger guy, you know? So it is kind of weird seeing him retire that early. Was that hard for you to, not necessarily hard, but was it weird for you to kind of, when he retired, like, were you like, oh shit, like, what am I going to do now? Or how do you process that?
Kind of, I mean, a little bit. I mean, being a drummer, drums is a very weird profession. There's not a lot of turnover in the drummer world, and you can't exactly just go apply. You know, you can't just fill out a job application. So I knew it was going to be tough because, you know, I know pretty much either know all the drummers in country music, or I know someone in almost every band. And I just kind of knew going into it, like, it's going to be really hard to find a gig because drummers don't just quit every day. So,
yeah, man. Yeah. And I want to get into all that, but I guess first, just for people who might not know, you or know about what you do. I guess let's kind of just start with some basics here, man. So like what got you started as like a touring drummer? I know I interviewed, I don't know if you've heard of him. His name's Jason Sutter. He's a rock musician, been around forever. Yeah, Yeah, man, I talked to him last night, and he gave me like the rundown on how all like the freelance world, and then you have like the world that a lot of drummers take too, which is like staying in a band and stuff. And I know sometimes you can't help it. So, what got you into the world of freelance drumming and like in that kind of gig?
Yeah. Well, I started out in a band when I graduated high school. I mean, in high school, I played enough in whether it was like church worship bands or I played with my buddies in a band. And I knew enough that I knew that music was what I wanted to do with my life, but I had no idea how to do that. And in the town I grew up, the town I was living in, you know, I was about an hour away from Austin. So I knew that, you know, when I got out of high school and kind of got dropped into the real world, I was like, man, I spent 1 year in a day job. And I was like, man, this is not like, I don't want to do this for the next, like the rest of my life. And music and drums was really what I knew I was naturally good at. I knew that I would always be happy if I was doing it, and I knew there had to be a way, and I knew I was going to be a total waste if I didn't pursue that. So I found a band that needed a drummer, a rock band, back in 2007, and they needed a drummer, so I joined, and I was like the drummer for the band. I was like the Travis Barker or the Tommy Lee of the band. I was on the merch. My face was on the t-shirts. I signed autographs at the merch table, And it was very like, okay, if this band doesn't survive, my career is over. Like when the band's career is over, my career is over. And that kind of scared me because I did kind of see that that band wasn't going to last forever. It wasn't going to take me to retirement age, you know, like it wasn't going to be that for me. And I had researched other bands. Like I'm kind of a music, not a music history nerd necessarily, but like I like to know, you know, like where bands came from, if they were a band, if they had a different name in the early days or something. And I knew that, I knew that your first band is never the one that makes it. And so that kind of gave me a little bit of a, it kind of calmed me in that first band because I was like, okay, I'm going to have to figure out how to survive after this. And when that ended, I just coincidentally had gone out to a Gretsch Drums drummer party out in Hollywood. And it was my first time ever to California. And I met a bunch of professional drummers. And Jason Sutter might have been there. But I don't know.
He might have. I don't know if that's his brand or not. Have. But
I think at one point it was. Anyway, there were a lot of people there that knew him. But I met these drummers, these pretty big name, well-established guys in L.A., who were doing exactly what I wanted to do, which was be a drummer surviving without a band. And I also realized that like these guys that were doing it had been doing it for a long time. They still had the same struggles as me. They still had the same problems. Every band had the same problems. And it kind of woke me up to like, hey, like as you climb up the ladder, your problems don't go away. So it kind of helps me to like just take the like when you're loading into a club and it's a horrible load in and you have no stage hands to help you. Like that happens all the time. Like it happens a little less with a big gig, but it happens all the time. So like it helps me to really endure through the bad years. And also to kind of appreciate those, like when COVID hit and bands were just having to play anywhere we could find, you know, and there was no like stage hands to help us. Like it kind of helps me endure through those hard moments when they came back. So like, but when my rock band ended, I realized that nobody in Austin knew who I was, and not even, you know, not many people knew who my band was, but even fewer people knew who I was. So, and that was a big problem. So I had to get out and meet people. So I started going to, shows. When I would play a show, I started being social with the other bands instead of being like antisocial drummer guy in that one band. So I just started making friends, and I made sure that I also had like took every opportunity I could to play with new people because for 4 years, all I had done is play with those same three guys. And like, if you hadn't, if you hadn't come to a show, you didn't ever see me play. So, I had the Austin, Texas musicians, like musicians needed group on Facebook set to alarm, like notify me every time anybody made a post. And I mean, even the gigs that were no money, I just need a drummer tonight, like we'll split the tip jar at the end of the night, I was either going to sit at home and do nothing, or I was going to pack up my drums and guitar and go and take this gig. And I started doing this, and every time I did it, I made a new impression on the bass player that I'd never played before, or the keyboard player that I'd never played before. And those guys were both in other bands that would call me 6 months down the road for another gig. So, I mean, and before I knew it, I was doing it. I was getting 3 to 4 gigs a week just from knowing people and just from being, you know, like somebody needs a drummer. And the bass player is like, oh, I know a guy you can call. He filled in on my gig last week, you know, so I literally had to like build it from the ground up. And of course social media helped. Back in 2012, I got a gig with Evans Blue, a rock band from Canada, who was real big in like the 2005-06 era. But okay. I got that gig without meeting them at all, just on a recommendation from their previous drummer. And I had YouTube videos back then, when YouTube really wasn't a thing yet. But I had YouTube videos where they could actually go and watch me play. And I was like singing harmonies while playing. And I was, you know, I had like a long list of basically audition material, like pre-done videos showing how I played live. And it eliminated any question they had in their mind. And like, so I ended up joining a band of strangers who had never met me before. Mm-hmm. And like cold turkey, we had like 4 days of rehearsal before the first show. And they were like, well, if this dusty guy can't cut it, we literally don't know what we're going to do.
Right.
But obviously we knew you could play because we saw your videos. But for some reason, we were just like, what if we hate it? But of course they didn't, and we ended up being great friends. But I mean, that's how I became a freelance drummer, was just getting out there and doing good.
Is that what you want to call it? I don't know what to call it.
It's exactly what it is. Yeah, it's a freelance drummer, because you wouldn't consider like a welder a freelance welder, but he is. I mean, right. You know, or like anyone who's like a tradesman, you know, like you wouldn't really consider a lot of those people freelance, but they are, you know. Mm-hmm. And my job is very similar to those, because you get your jobs based off of referrals and word of mouth, and you have to do good work in order to get called back and to get referred. So like I always compare being a freelance drummer to those types of careers, because they're kind of the same principles, you know.
Right. So when you so fast forward a bit, and you're I guess first, if you want to let me know, how'd you get in contact with Granger, and then like in that shift, man, like from to, because you're a rock guy, so how was that shift going into just straight up country music?
Well, honestly, my whole life, I've been going back and forth between country and rock. Because, I mean, growing up in Texas, you're just surrounded by it. You're surrounded by George Strait and Pantera and Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, and everything in between. So, like, I have always kind of struggled as a kid and even in high school just deciding what kind of music I liked the most, or what kind of music I even wanted to play. And as a drummer, as a young kid drummer, I really didn't want to play country, because country was boring as a drummer, back then at least. And of course, I appreciated country music because I also, you know, played other instruments and I just liked it. But yeah, my first rock band, I had basically played every song hard and loud for like 4 years. And then prior to Granger, I had played with another country guy for a year and a half, and had kind of had to transition and be like, okay, now I'm playing stuff real quiet, you know? And I hadn't played quietly or dynamically in a long time. Then I left that country band for the Evans Blue gig I was just talking about. And I only did that gig for 7 weeks, but just those 7 weeks put me back in that rock and roll mode where every hit was loud and hard as possible. And I tell people when I talk about my first Granger show, the very first note of my first Granger show, I hit so loud just from being in that rock band habit that every member of the band and every person in the front row jumped when I hit on the first note. And I had to remind myself, okay, I'm in a country band again. So it's, you know, it's not loud, you know?
Right.
So I've always had to go back and forth from that, like reminding myself, okay, you know, like kind of read the room, read the stage, read the other band members, because you don't want to be the drummer that sticks out like a sore thumb, you know? I mean,
yeah,
you want to blend in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like, and then going off that, it's kind of cool. Like with the Texas scene, nowadays, like the coolest thing about it is that you don't really know, you can't call it country or rock anymore. Like it's its own thing. It's definitely more has a rock leaning edge, especially Austin.
Yeah. Austin for sure. And it's always kind of been that way. I mean, that was always kind of what, country, I mean, even back before they were calling it Texas country, when, you know, Waylon Jennings and Willie were, they didn't fit in with Nashville because of the way their drums were and the way their production was. And so it's always kind of been that way. But nowadays, man, I never thought that I would see rock music come back so strongly, and it disguised itself as country music. You know, it kind of snuck mm-hmm. its way in. and yeah, Austin is doing rock festivals. His song's on the rock, mm-hmm. the active rock charts. I mean, I never thought it would happen again. I thought I'd be playing country music forever.
Yeah. And the coolest thing is I've known, Austin, I don't know, it might have been like 2019 is when I first saw him, and just seeing them evolve, not only as just a band and their music, but their, like, I guess their talent progress and their live shows and basically anything, like, it, you could tell that that's really what they wanted to play, like, this whole time. I can't confirm that, but that's at least what it seems like.
I think it feels that way with a lot of bands. I think people have been slowly kind of breaking the mold a little bit, and it works. And so they do it a little more and it works, and they do it a little more and it works. I mean, I also think that the young generation, like the kids that are in high school and college now, are into guitars again. Like we went through about a 10-year span where all the young kids wanted to be DJs. And now I think that's mm-hmm. finally kind of over. I think people want to play guitars and like be in a real band.
Yeah, for sure. I think that started even like when I'm 25. So like I remember like growing up and like and Jason, who I was talking to yesterday, he mentioned, which I never thought about, like Rock Band and like even Guitar Hero, like that kind of shit, kind of. Like, it's kind of funny hearing that, and I don't know if, like, that was, I don't know if that helped you out or not, but, like, that's definitely, like, I've always been a classic rock guy from my parents, so, like, mm-hmm. but, like, seeing my friends go from, like, Nelly to Mountain or, like bands like that, it's pretty nuts.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. So, what about when, how'd you get the call from Austin, or how'd you guys end up crossing paths?
I've always been kind of keeping up with the I say younger guys in Texas country or Texas. I mean, they're not really that young anymore. But I mean, for, you know, for the last 10 years, I've been trying to keep up with, you know, the Co Wetzel and Austin and Reeve Saldall and all the Cody, mm-hmm. all the Codys. There's like four or five Codys. Like,
yeah, there's a million of them.
10 years ago, before Granger, I played drums for Brandon Ryder, and they were saying everyone was named Brandon back then. but now everyone's named Cody. I'd always kept in touch with him, and he opened for Granger one time, and I remember thinking, man, this guy's got a great voice. And, you know, he had the long hair back then, and that was kind of unique. I was like, man, this guy, if he sticks around, is going to be really good. And then you know, he released the Black Sheep album, and I remember listening to it either just through social media posts or on Spotify, and just messaging him and being like, dude, this song is awesome. And he'd be like, dude, you need to check this one out then. Be like this, you know, like yeah. He would kind of help me dive into some more of his songs. And I mean, when the Granger thing was when Granger told us he was going to retire, I was like, man, there's all kinds of, like, you know, there's all kinds of ideas of who my next gig could be. And I was like, mm-hmm. man, but if I'm really going to choose it based on music, then I'm like, man, there's only a few that I really just really want to get out there and play with. And Austin was
yeah.
the top of the list. And, you know, between being in contact with him directly, and then his previous drummer was really my contact with most with the band. I'd never met anyone else. I'd never met any of them. Yeah. So, and I would keep in contact with Aaron more than Austin.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it came time for Aaron to need a fill in for about a week, and I came out, and then, I don't really know the exact details, but I think, you know, people just get tired of being on the road, and I've been,
yep.
man, there's nothing worse than being on the road when you don't want to be. And I've had entire yeah. years in my life where I didn't want to be on the road. So I think it just worked out where I was looking for a gig and they were coming up on an opening, and it just coincidentally was the gig I was hoping I was going to get. Especially in Texas, I'm married now and I've got three kids, and my wife and I just built a house and I built this drum studio. So I'm nice. Kind of Texas locked. I mean, I could have gotten a Nashville gig. I still could, you know, in the future, mm-hmm. but, it would just have to, you know, be a pretty big one for me to do it while still living.
For sure. I mean, so when you
go ahead. Well, I said,
no, you're fine. Good.
I lived in Nashville for 2 years while I had the Granger gig. Just two okay. random years. I moved up there, and it was interesting living in Nashville. Like, I just moved there just to kind of take it all in. Like, I didn't need to find. I didn't like move to town looking for a gig. I didn't move to town desperate to find a gig. I moved to Nashville and I didn't even have drums for the first year. I didn't even have drums there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just flying the bus calls and flying out to shows and flying back home to Nashville. So that was
okay.
also cool to like move to Nashville as a musician, but not have the stress of having to immediately find jobs.
Yeah. You said you, didn't you say you toured around with, Kurt Ozon?
We played,
or you knew him or something?
I know him, or I still know him. I mean, we did a lot of acoustic radio gigs with Luke back in when Luke Combs first single. And I knew Kurt from whoever he played with before Luke, which I know he was always bouncing around with different people. I've ran into him several times over the years. I'm trying to remember artists' names, but I can't.
Yeah, I was just curious because I know you mentioned that in the email, and he does a lot of shit for Raise Rowdy, so it's just kind of yeah. funny that you guys knew each other. So the first time you played with Austin, was it like an immediate gel? Did you like, was it like clockwork? You guys kicked it off, or was it hard to get used to? Or
For me, it was. Of course, I'm used to jumping in with a band and learning 17 songs with no rehearsal. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Austin's music is a little more complicated than Granger's, but it all makes sense. It's not like I'm up there playing math rock or playing some really really complicated stuff that's hard to remember.
Yeah.
So it was easy to jump in and gel with them. for them, they were a little nervous. I don't think they had ever had a fill-in drummer or fill-in anything, anyone fill-in at the last second. And our first show, my first show with them was in Nashville with like all their management and booking agent and the record label was there. And the opening band or the headlining band's whole people were there. So, I mean, Nashville, also when you play Nashville, everyone in the crowd is a musician. So it's, yeah. It can be a little nerve wracking to play there even when you're well rehearsed. So, but after the first show, I think they kind of, I think the worry kind of left, and then we really started, vibing. But I was excited. I was excited on the first show, and I tried to kind of let them know, like, "Hey, this is gonna be okay. We're gonna rock."
Yeah. Were they still touring with at the time the first show you did? Were they still with Dirty Honey, or was that tour over? I can't.
Yep. No, it was the last three shows on the Dirty Honey tour, and then we had a headline
show. Gotcha. Hell yeah, man. And I'm going to bring up Jason again just because it's fresh in my mind. I haven't mentioned him like 25 times, but he's just an interesting dude that I think you could relate to a lot. The way he explained like the whole like freelancing thing and over the years, the way he said it is that it's like swinging from a vine, hoping you could catch that next vine, like one gig to another kind of thing. And like you just keep going. Is that kind of how it feels? Like, is it there? And you hit on it before a little bit, but like, is there a lot of uncertainty in it? Does it worry you, or are you seem pretty confident in it? So like, or are you like, kind of like, I'll always have something to fall back on?
No, I definitely don't have things to fall back on. I mean, now that I have this studio built, this will be my like new second thing that I'm doing. I've always been like loosely involved in studio stuff, but not really, because I've always been on the road. But yeah, it feels like that. Like, I mean, before Granger, I had a really good rotation of finding gigs. And then I got that Evans Blue gig, which was 7 weeks. The bad thing about having a long gig is that people stop calling you. So, okay. Like, If you're just continuously filling in with people over and over and over and over again, then people keep calling you because they know you don't belong to anyone and you could be available. But once I joined with Granger, and about 6 months in to that, and I was like, no, man, got a Granger gig. Nope, got a Granger gig. Nope, got a Granger gig. Then people stop calling you and they see me posting pictures of me playing shows. So, yeah, like you swing from that vine, and you have to keep swinging to keep swinging. Because the moment you are like, "Nah, I can't. I'm going to pass," then that momentum that you had goes away. And of course, you don't need that momentum when you've got a gig, but years go by, and eventually you're going to have one. So, like, I was really pretty spoiled for 11 years with Ranger to not have to go out and find a gig. And so,
yeah.
Having to get back out there and do it again was pretty nerve-wracking. I mean, it's difficult because, like, I don't know, just the logistics of it. I mean, I didn't have drums. Like, I didn't have a complete drum set. I actually could not go out and play gigs, which was just the worst thing, is when you can't even do what you need to do. But now, so you know, like now I've got a gig again, so it's not that stressful, you know?
Right. So like when you go into a new gig, is you go into the mindset of like, okay, I want, like, surely any musician's always thinking of the next thing, obviously. But like, do you go into it like, I'm trying to stay here? Like, I don't know. That sounds kind of dumb, but like, do you go into it like, this is my permanent spot? Or are you kind of like, okay, I'm going to play this till my next gig? Or
I mean, I go into it like a, I say quarterback, but I don't know if I'm really the quarterback of the band. But I go into it like a quarterback joining a new football team. It's like,
Okay.
This may not be my forever spot, but we're going to a Super Bowl. You know, like I'm gonna take this band. I'm gonna make this band as good as I possibly can. But whether it's through my own playing or through production or through building the tracks or programming the lights or working on video content, like I'm gonna take this band. And three months from now, people aren't even gonna notice. We're not even gonna be the same band. 3 months after that, it's not even the same band again. You know, like
yeah.
I try to see myself as like a free agent athlete that just landed mm-hmm. with a new team. So now it's my responsibility to win.
Yeah. No, yeah, for sure. That makes me understand a lot better, actually. And yeah. so you're in for like the recording and everything, right?
I like to be. I mean, a lot of recordings today are just programmed drums, which, I mean, in the end, it all sounds the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, hopefully with, you know, having a studio set up now, I'll be able to be more involved and things like that. Like I said, when I moved to Nashville, I didn't even have my drums with me. So like,
yeah.
I didn't get brought in on a lot of studio stuff, mainly because producers use the drummers they like, and there's drummers in town that specialize in that thing. You know, like that's another thing, like the difference between being a touring drummer and a studio guy. I mean, mm-hmm. like if you want to go and record an album in a studio, you hire the guys that have done that, and you hire the guys that are veterans at doing that. And then if you want to go on tour, then you hire a guy like me or a drummer like me.
Right.
So not to say that the two worlds can't cross. They just usually, mm-hmm. they just don't at first.
Right.
So that's another weird thing about being a musician.
Yeah. Yeah, man. And so like kind of going off that, like I obviously you're in your studio, like what other like side projects are you doing? Like, I saw somewhere, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think you're doing classes too, maybe.
Yeah. I'm doing lessons in here. I've got one later today. And I'm helping drummers. Like some drummers out there are just like, dude, I want to make a living as a drummer. Like I want to get out there mm-hmm. and play gigs. And that's nothing to do with talent. I mean, like I've got a guy right now, he can play. He can play. He's got videos of him playing online. But he's like, dude, I can't, like this band right now needs me to learn 15 songs for a gig this weekend. And I'm like, dude, I can't learn 15 songs. And I'm like, yeah, you can. You got to write them down. Let me help you write them down. You know? So it's okay. Literally just like, I'm doing, it's lessons, but sometimes in these lessons, I don't even touch the drum set, and I'm not even showing guys anything on drums. I'm just like, okay, I'm literally helping drummers get ready for their weekend, you know, or helping
kind of like
get
a
ready.
Mentor in that sense. And
kind of, it's like, I'm going to take literally, what do you need? Right. Like, what do you need? What's mm-hmm. your goals? And because when I was 22, I had no idea what to do. And like I mentioned, going out to that drummer party in California, I got people's phone numbers, and I would text them and call them like in the years after that. I'd be like, dude, what do I do? Like, how do mm-hmm. I, like people are asking me, what's my rate? I'm like, I don't even have a rate. Like, I mean, what should it be? Like, where do I start? Literally, what do I tell people? Like, and so I guess, now, I mean, I'm 38. So, I mean, I quit my last, I've been like full-time drummer since 2009. So like 14 or 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And now I guess now I'm finally, not that I didn't want to help people before, but before I was like, man, I don't even know how I'm doing this yet. I can't help people. But now I think I have a little more experience, a little more grasp of what I'm doing. And
yeah,
I'm just a little more able to help people, drummers. And I guess it doesn't even have to, wouldn't even have to be a drummer. I guess it could be any musician.
Yeah.
But, you know, just trying to just help people.
That's an interesting thing with the old, like, when do you know that, when are you comfortable enough with your own capabilities to want to teach other people? Like, that seems like a big decision to make.
Yeah. That's always what was holding me back before.
Yeah. Do you have any thoughts on doing, like, session work, like when you're not on the road or any of that, or do you already do session work? Or
I do some. I have a rock band called Sugar Skull that I'm involved with two friends. I did an EP for this guy. It's kind of this one guy's solo project. He's a bass player, and then he's got a guitar player, and then me that help him. I do that, and then I'm going to be doing drum tracks. I'm doing the Sugar Skull drum tracks. I'm looking at doing two different styles of drum tracks, because I know there's a lot of people, there's a lot of songwriters in Nashville that are just writing demos every day. They don't exactly need a full blown drum production. They just need something that sounds human and sounds, you know, that's going to spice the song up so that when they play it for someone on their phone, it sounds somewhat finished. Mm-hmm. So I'm wanting to add, like, to do like a very basic, not a basic recording, but like a, like, basic file delivery to these guys that are just like, dude, I just need to lay down a beat over the song we're writing. And I want to be able to turn drum tracks around for those people, like, within 30 minutes or within an hour, where even if you're in a writing room in Nashville writing with some guys, they can be like, okay, hang on, let's just send this to Dusty. And then before y'all are even done writing the song, I can have at least a beat done. And then, of course, also doing full album production style tracks in here too. I just want to be involved in all of that stuff, because I've always felt like I've been missing from the studio world, because I've always been live, and I've never had, like, this is my first time having drums set up at my house since high school. Like, the moment I moved out.
That's crazy.
The moment I moved away from home, my drums lived in a trailer hooked up to a van or hooked up to a bus. And I've never been able to just set up and play for like 20 years. So, I'm excited about that.
Yeah, that's the beauty of the technology nowadays. Like, you can, like you said, just shoot off some drum tracks and, like, you know, vice versa. So, like, that does help. Like, you don't have to go to Nashville. You could do it from the comfort of your own studio.
I'm going to do live streams and YouTube stuff, you know, the same YouTube stuff I've been doing.
Badass. Do you, and you mentioned earlier, you played like other instruments and stuff. Do you do anything with that? Like, do you do anything like with that, or do you write your own songs? Like, what about all that stuff?
I do. And I will again. Like I said, I've been kind of waiting for this studio to be finished. I've got all my guitars in the bathroom. I'm going to hang those up and I probably, right now I'm in the fine tuning of the drums phase. And then I'm hoping to get to be working on other things. I can see myself working on my own songs in here. I definitely want to just be able to collaborate with people on everything. I mean, if I've got a cool song that I'm working on with someone, and I do drum tracks, I mean, I could definitely see myself grabbing the bass and just laying the bass down real quick. Hopefully real quick.
Awesome, man. But hey, thanks for hopping on, Dusty. I've known, like I said, like Austin and the guys in his group for a while, and it's nice to see you on board, man. I can't wait to catch a show. I just saw the one at I think it was November in Cincy at Bogart's in Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah.
I guess that was like pretty much right before you hopped on board. So
I think so.
I missed you by that much. So
yeah, I played Bogart's before with Granger a few times, so I know.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Nice. So yeah, I'll have to catch a show, man. I love when drummers are doing well. I'm a drummer just as a hobby, and I love talking to drummers. I love nerding out about that shit. It's so much fun to me. And you, I guess a quick question here. Is there anyone that you would want to do like you mentioned, like drum tracks for? Do you have like a wish list of like, or any certain one that I really want to work with this guy or anything like that?
I don't know. I mean,
that's kind of a broad question.
It is a little, I mean, honestly, I'd be happy. I mean, I don't know. I hate to say, I think at this point in my career, I'm open to literally working with anyone. I'd just be happy to work with whoever. I mean, I don't know.
Well, no, that's fine. Hey, you got to keep grinding. It's good to see that, man. And I guess we'll put a pin in with this, man. If you have any plugs, anything you want to promote, I know you have, like you said, you're doing your lessons. The floor is yours if you want to put any of that out there.
Yeah. Drum lessons, gig prep, song charting. If you're a drummer, and if you're a young drummer, if you're a drummer that just wants to one day make a living at drumming, I know there's not really a roadmap on how to do that, but I can help navigate you through that. That's what I'm hoping to do. But that's it. Yeah, my booking link is in my Instagram bio. It's on my TikTok bio. And it's on YouTube.
Awesome. So yeah, everyone check out Dusty and catch an Austin Mead show. I've been to about fucking 50 of them now, and they're always a good time. So
we've got some good festivals. We're on Welcome to Rockville Fest, Earth Day Birthday Fest, which I've never played, but Evans Blue, who I used to play with, they played it before me. So I already knew about it.
Oh, wow.
So I'm excited to play that. Uproar, I think it's called Uproar Fest in Grand Rapids. There's some awesome festivals. We're gonna be playing with a lot of cool bands. We play the same night as the Foo Fighters at Rockville, so
awesome. But thanks again, man. I appreciate you hopping on. And also, everyone, check out Rowdy Alternative and Rage Rowdy. We got a website, we got socials, we're on pretty much everything. Thanks for listening, and we'll see y'all next time.